Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own the Lovett Company.
That's right. We do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh, yes. A relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Success in Black and White podcast.
That's right. We are back.
We're back.
Again.
Today, we have a very special episode for you. We are excited to bring this audio to you.
Yes, very excited.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, we did an interview, a live interview with Tiana Hidalgo. I almost butchered her name.
Yeah, you almost did.
I know. Sorry, Tiani. She's an awesome person, though. She is a purpose coach. She's a speaker. She's a writer. She's a talk show host. And she is the founder of the Purpose Driven Revolution. Her story is really, really cool. It's really awesome to kind of follow her. And she asked us if we would do an interview with her after she listened to our interracial relationship series.
Yes, yes.
So she very graciously allowed us to use the audio from that interview and to play it back for you guys today, because the interview itself was so much fun to do.
It was very fun.
Yeah, it was. I know you had to get up and go.
Yep.
Go be with Vaughn for a little while.
Yeah.
Because he was crying, and it was that night when we did it. But she asked some very personal questions about our background, about our relationship, about our business, and we just gave her very vulnerable answers right back.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so the interview was really good. We both have listened to it probably 3 times now because she's just very good at what she does.
Yep.
So she's allowing us to use the audio from that and to let you guys kind of listen into that interview, and we think that you're going to enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for having some patience with us. I did post on Facebook for people to just give us a moment. We're having technical difficulties. It happens. Things happen, but the show will go on. So
that's so right.
Thank you guys for having patience with us. And thank you, Daryl and April, for joining me on the show.
Yes. How are
you
guys? We're doing great.
Good. We're excited.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I do want to give everyone a minute to join, but in the meantime, I wanted to welcome everyone. It's Thursday, and this is Tiani, your purpose coach. And today and every Thursday is your weekly dose of high vibe, forward thinking, and revolutionary content that encourages you to discover the passions that lead to your purpose. And I am so blessed and thankful to have you both here today, because you are the first people in this season for 2019. Wow.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. So thank you guys for joining us. So again, this is April and Daryl Lovett. Did I say it correctly?
Yep.
Awesome. From lovettco.com. And again, thank you guys for joining us. Let me just make sure that everything online is going well. All right. Good stuff. Cool. So before we get started, I just wanted to give all of you guys online a little background on this charming couple. We're going to hear a lot about them, but I just wanted to give you a quick preview. So Daryl and April are married, are a married duo. If, in case you didn't notice, they have matching shirts. love it. I did wear black and white for you guys. See?
Awesome.
Yeah. So they're a married duo that work their 9-to-5 job at the same organization, own a leadership consulting and training business together, and co-host the Success in Black and White podcast, which they have on their shirts. So the backstory is that April, the sly one over there.
Yes. Moved
to the, oh, so he knows.
Yeah, he does.
So April moved to Tallahassee, Florida in 2012 to take a job at Florida State University. Lo and behold, the job was the same as her now husband and had applied for. So after getting to know each other better, the two started dating and now are a happy couple with two kids and a dog, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fur dog, fur baby.
Fur baby.
Then 2 years ago, Darla and April started the Love It Company. So they're a leadership training and consulting company. That's what it's all about. In this past year, they decided to do a podcast, which, by the way, I have listened to the podcast and I have some questions for you all about that.
Yay. Okay.
Yes. So they started a podcast which is dedicated to self-growth and development. And one of their recent series, which is the one that kind of caught my eye when I found you on Instagram, April, revolves around interracial couples. And April obviously identifies herself as white and Daryl as Black, where they feature stories from 30 different couples. Incredibly successful. It's had thousands of downloads and people tuning in from 13 countries, which is amazing. I love that. I love that. Much, much respect for you guys for that. They continue their business and podcast to date with topics including leveling up, resiliency, making hard decisions, managing relationships, and more.
Yes.
That was a mouthful, guys. You guys are up to a lot. So that's a really, really good thing, especially that you're a couple working on it together, which is so beautiful to see. So thank you.
Yes.
So say hi to everybody. I've spoken a lot about you, but say hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. We're glad to be here.
Yes. We're very excited to be here.
Yay.
We have a caveat in that one of our children is 9 months old and is deciding to protest a little bit right now as we started the podcast. So Daryl might have to get up and leave and go comfort him, but he'll come back.
No worries.
We can talk while he's gone because then I can tell great stories about him.
Wait a minute. You set this up, didn't you?
Yes, I told the 9 month old to start crying.
April and I might have talked about this before, or maybe not. All right. Are you guys hearing a break? Okay, I hear a little bit of a break, but that's okay. So I know this is somewhat unusual for the both of you as you're usually doing the podcast and interviewing others, right? Per your series. So I hope that you all don't get too nervous as I grill you with all my questions.
No. Bring it.
Bring it on.
I love it. You must be from New York in a past life, I think. Okay, so let's get into it. I want to know, and our viewers want to know, how did you start your journey? Because now everything feels so rosy and beautiful, but I know that you all come from different walks of life, and we'd love to hear what your background is and how you all got together.
You want to take it first?
Juicy details. Let's go.
Yeah. So, gosh, how did we get here? Well, so you really started it beautifully when you started talking about how I moved. I'm actually originally from Colorado, and I'm a small town country girl, like surrounded by corn and cattle and just a lot of country. And there were 2,000 people in my town. So when I moved and went to school, I was moving to like the big state of Florida and moving far away from everybody. And so I moved to Florida. I went to West Florida, University of West Florida for my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. And I ended up moving to Florida State to work at Florida State University in the recreation department. And that's when I met my wonderful husband, who didn't really like me very much in the beginning because I interviewed for the same job that he was interviewing for, but I didn't know it at the time, although he knew it at the time. So from there, I think for like the first 6 months, we really didn't like each other that much because he didn't like me. So I was like, well, if he doesn't like me, I'm not going to like him. So we really just didn't even talk very much. And So he's going to go get the baby real quick, but I'm going to keep telling the story because it's really good.
Keep dishing.
So he's got to go get the baby. But So for about 6 months, we really didn't talk to each other at all. And finally, we got like stuck on this big work project. And so we had to force ourselves to talk to each other because we were still working together. And so when we finally got on this work project, we would do things like we would go get frozen yogurt or we'd go get sushi because we really just needed to get to know each other a little bit better. And so once we started doing that, just so we could actually work together, we decided that we actually liked each other. And it was just funny how it progressed because then we were just friends for a really long time. And there was nothing like romantic in our heads. And so fast forward like another 6 months. And so I've been here about a year. And I think we finally just looked at each other one day and we were like, I think I really like you. And he's like, I think I really like you too. Amazing. And so, like, there was so much more to it. And if you listen to our very first podcast episode, we actually tell like the, how did we get together? And when was our first kiss? But that's really the background story of the two of us.
I wonder if Daryl would say the same.
he may not, but when he gets back from the baby, we can let him tell his side of the story. From there, we really just like things kind of happened quickly for us. We were together for a while and then we found out that I was pregnant, which was a big surprise too. And we actually also talk about that in our podcast and how we had to make some of those really hard decisions surrounding the fact that I was pregnant and we weren't married and we weren't even living in the same house at the time. And so we had to navigate some of those really big, tough decisions together and really just brought us closer together. And so we had our daughter and then we ended up getting married and we got married in the Dominican Republic. It was so much fun. Woo! And then it was awesome. Love it. Then I got pregnant with our son and between the time, so I'll back up a little bit because between the time that I had my daughter and the time that we got married, we were like sitting on a couch one day and he looked at me and he's like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a motivational speaker. And I was like, really? And like our daughter's two and she's just kind of playing around. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we just started to build the company. We started to build the Levitt Co. And when people started to find out that he did motivational speaking and that I also can talk about leadership programs and can come in and do trainings and we can do these things together, then they really wanted both of us. And so that was amazing because we were like, we can actually work together in our full-time jobs, which we did. And then now we can work together in a part-time job, which we also did. So that was so much fun. And then after I had my son, then somehow, so I'll tell you, we had started listening to, like, we first got introduced to the podcast world this past April. So April 2018, there was a podcast that we had listened to that we discovered was for self-growth. And I'd never heard of this concept before. Like, I've heard of podcasts, but usually we're listening to like true crime. And so when we discovered the self-growth podcast, I was like, we can do this. Like, this is so easy. We can do this.
So wait, let me pause you there because I know that Daryl has a background in football. And so he has experience out in the public eye as well. So how did you bring your background and his background together and suddenly decide that motivational speaking and leadership coaching was for you?
What a great question. So he does have a background in kind of this public arena and it really for him, I hate telling his story, but he's so sweet taking care of the 9-month-old who's crying back there, of course. But for him, he grew up as a pastor's kid. So his dad is a pastor and his dad is still a pastor to this day. And so he kind of had that, I think as he was a young boy, he learned to be very quiet and to really be introspective because that was kind of what was expected of him as a pastor's kid. But as he grew up, he realized that I have a voice too. Not only do I have a voice, but I also have the same skill set that my dad has because his dad is very good, can get up and talk in front of people, just like a natural talker. Like he can motivate anybody to do anything. And so Daryl realized as he got older that he also had this innate ability to do this. And so he did go through a couple different paths in his life. And one of our episodes that we talk about in the podcast is that he ended up, because he was a pastor's kid as a young child, he didn't play sports often. But as he grew up and he got into high school, he discovered that, oh, I really like sports. But he didn't know that at the time because he just never played. So where a lot of kids nowadays, like you go to football camp, say your parents are like, yeah, you're going to play football. You go to a football camp when you're younger and you do a lot of sports when you're younger to kind of build that. And he never had that. And so when he started playing football, it was like his sophomore, junior year of high school. And that was really his first exposure to football. And he realized he was really good at it. So he'd never played before. He'd never practiced. He'd never really touched a football before besides just like messing around. And when he got on the field, everybody's like, wow, he's so good. Like, what camps do you go to? And he's like, I didn't do anything. Like, this is my first time on a football field. He's naturally athletic. And so he realized that people expected him to be a football player because he was really good at it. And I don't think that he ever really stopped to think, is this really for me? Like, is this really my passion in life? And so as he moved on and went to college, it was natural. Like, he got a scholarship with football. He continued to play football and he was really, really good. And then he got injured. The injury was devastating because in his mind, he was like, I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to be this great professional football player. And then all of a sudden, everything, his whole world came crashing down around him. And so from there, he was really lost for quite a few years. And so his story is a lot different than mine because I never really felt like in my story that I was lost. Like, he felt like he was lost, where he really had to find himself and understand, like, this is who I am now. That wasn't my story. I always kind of had this is what I'm going to do. And then even if my career path changed, like when I was younger, I wanted to talk to dolphins all day. And but when my career path changed, it never bothered me. And for him, he was so set on, like, I'm going to be a professional athlete. And so it was really a hard time for him when he got injured. And so it took him a long time. It took him years to kind of figure out, like, oh, this is who I am. And this is my gift to the world. And his gift is teaching and speaking and motivational speaking and being able to inspire a crowd. And he's really, really good at it. So
yeah,
fun to watch him and to combine our passions and to combine our backgrounds in order to make this business work the way that it needs to.
I love it. And I love his story and your story because, first of all, they're so different. But also one of the things I love to talk about is that even when you're in the pursuit of what, you know, what your passion is, right? Which for you, you were very chill and relaxed and go with the flow with it. And for him, like, he already had a plan, like, I'm going to do this. So it's interesting to see how people come from different perspectives and yet you guys met together.
Right.
But also, even when you feel like you have a skill at something, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you were meant for, which I tell people a lot. Because you might be really good at data entry, but it is the most boring job in the world.
Yes.
And even if you're really good at it and you pursue it, anything could happen. Like for him, for example, you know, he got injured, unfortunately, and maybe he could have made it to the NFL, but there were other plans.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah. So I'm good. I'm glad because obviously he was able to pull through and come out of it and also use his story and your story to now tell a new story.
Right.
So that's just beautiful. And I love how both of you pretty much were able to pull it together and now have a company doing it together. So
right.
It's just beautiful. So I'm curious because I know that you said that he had a motivational speaking dad because he is a pastor. Where does yours come from?
Great question. So I would say honestly from my mom and my mom, like my dad, my parents are awesome. My dad is he's a little more reserved and he will say something when he really needs to, but he's much more reserved. My mom is like 110% extrovert. And so there's definitely an element of that's kind of where I get my, I don't know. There's still times that I get up in front of a crowd and I feel nervous or whatever, but for the most part, a lot of what I'm getting is from my mom. And she's just very, like, she'll get up in front of anybody and say, she'll speak her mind. She's very strong. Like, she's one of those very strong women that you just learn from and you just glean from. And so that's kind of, I think that's where my background comes from. But the funny thing is, we talk about this often because where his is very natural, he can come in and he can, like, this drives me crazy about him. He can come in and I'll be like, hey, Daryl, you have to give a talk to 200 people in an hour. And he'll be like, oh, I didn't know that. Cool. Where am I going to go? And then he gets up in front of 200 people and he kills it. Amazing. He's amazing at it. For me, I'm like, okay, I got to give a talk in front of 50 people in 3 weeks. And so I'm going to record myself giving a speech, and then I'm going to listen to it back, and then I'm going to practice it, and then I'm going to listen to it back again, and then I'm going to delete some stuff, and then I'm going to talk it through, and then I'm going to practice it, and just on and on. And then I can finally get up and, like, talk in front of people and feel very confident in what but I...
This coming from the data-oriented person, I totally understand.
From the data-oriented person, yes. Yeah. And yeah, if you guys have not listened to our podcast, he is very motivational. He is very inspirational. He's very, like, get up and talk to anybody about anything. And for me, I can do that if I rehearse, but I so much prefer, like, I'm the person behind the screen. Like, I'm data. That's what I do in my day job. I do data analysis and processing. And it sounds so boring, and sometimes it is, but it's a great thing to do. Like, I'm a data nerd. We talked about this.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you. That's my day job too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, okay. So I want to talk a little bit about any drawbacks or blocks that you kind of had along the way, because I know it kind of sounds like a beautiful story. You guys got together and it was just magic.
Yeah.
So I want to know, were there any hiccups along the way, and who kind of inspired you to keep moving together and to do this, right? Did his dad, as a motivational speaking dad, did he say, son, you can do it? And did your mom come and say, you can do it too? Like, who were your inspirations and how did you guys overcome any drawbacks you might have had?
Oh my goodness. It's such a great question. And this is so funny. I hope that I don't sound too cheesy when I say this, but honestly, our inspirations are each other. We love our families so much, but we really don't get to see them that often because they're so far away. And so that's definitely a drawback, you know, when you live far away. But the thing that it does help is it helps us in our relationship. And so I feel like we really inspire each other. He inspires me every day. Like, he just has a really big heart, and our daughter gets that from him. She's 3, and she, you can tell, like, she's a daddy's girl. She definitely gets that from him. But so he inspires me in the way that he's able to interact with people. He's very good with, like, emotional and social intelligence. And that's kind of his thing. That's what he did his master's thesis on. He just inspires me in the way that he can communicate, in the way he can relate, the way he's so process oriented. And it's so funny because I'm the data analysis person in my full-time job, and he, like, runs a gym in his full-time job. But in his way of thinking and his daily life, he is very process oriented, where I'm like, let's just jump in. Let's do it. You go skydiving? Let's do it. And he's like, you want to jump out of a plane, we've got to think of the 150 things that could go wrong if we jump out of a plane, right? And so we're just very different. If he were sitting here, he would probably say that I inspire him too, just because I can say that because he's gone. But I really do. I think that we inspire each other because that's how we have to. And the way that we work together is so, it just flows. And it's so funny because we talk about this often where I am much more likely to jump the gun, and I want to jump into a project and I want to put something out into the world. Even with our website, I was like, with the very first iteration, we were both so proud of, and it had, like, clip art on it. Right. And so he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, you just got to put it out. Cause if, you know, there's a point where if you never put it out, nobody's ever going to see it. And you're going to always be reaching for perfection. And so I kind of check him in the, we've got to sometimes just push out our product, or we've got to be able to go talk to this group and not have it be absolutely perfect. And then he challenges me with, we need to stop and pull back a little bit and make sure that everything is set the way we need it to be set before we push it out to the world.
Which is fascinating, as you said, right? Because you are so data oriented, and we, as data oriented people, would say, hold on, let me check the numbers first.
Right. Isn't that so funny? Yes.
But it's good, because that means that you have a balance, and that also means that he has a balance. And so together you balance each other, which is
exactly
the point.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So it sounds like you both together are able to basically like go over any like drawbacks or issues that are going on. I mean, obviously he's taking care of the kid right now as you're here. So it's great tag team effort.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this podcast a little bit, because I was listening to the first one that you did talking about your own, I think it was about your own marriage, and you were getting into some of the data. And, you know, you talked to 30 different couples, and there was a quote that I loved that you said in the beginning, which is, when you tell a story, it helps combat ignorance, but it may or may not combat prejudice.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved, I love quotes, and I just loved it. So tell us about the quote and how it was relevant to this, you know, series that you did on interracial couples.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And this is so funny. So we were recording that day. We typically have a studio space where we can record. Not always. Sometimes we end up like on the floor of our living room because, you know, it's life and it's messy sometimes. But we usually have a recording studio. And so that day we had a recording studio and we had it reserved. And so I had gone to meetings beforehand because our recording studio is close to where we work. And so I went to a meeting with a colleague who is a little older than me and just very wise. And funny thing, we were talking about a building and we were talking about the data for our building. And so it was completely irrelevant, but he said that quote. He said that when you show somebody information or you show somebody data, then you can combat their ignorance because you provide them knowledge. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to combat their prejudice. And I thought that was so smart. He was talking about a building, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to go and use this for. So that quote to me was so inspiring just to start out that interracial relationship series, because, I mean, first of all, I couldn't think of a better quote, but that's exactly what we were talking about. So he's back after awesome. I already told all your stories.
We told your entire background, and so you don't even have to be here.
Y'all probably know why I love her so much now.
We love the stories that she told. It's all good things. You'll listen back in the playback.
Awesome. That's right. But yeah, we were talking about the first, how we did our interracial relationship series. Yeah. And so that quote really played a huge part in the entire 4-part series of how we wanted to make sure that not only was our story being told as an interracial couple, because it's not something that people talk about a lot. And for us, it was important for people to hear the situations that we went through, because a lot of them relate back to the fact that he is a Black male living in America. But now that I'm a part of that story, even though I'm the race of privilege, being a white female, and when I say race of privilege, I mean that I'm white, but now understanding that I'm part of his story, there are a lot of things that I experienced that I have never in my life experienced. And he's like, this is completely normal for me. Like, I know that you're freaking out about the police, or I know that you're freaking out about, you know, where do we send our kids to school or who's treating them certain ways. But this is something I've always experienced my entire life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how much privilege do I have? Right.
Absolutely.
So part of this podcast series is bringing to light what we deal with on a daily basis. And then being able to tell the stories of people that we just love to tell other people's stories. And so when we reached out to other couples that are like us, and maybe not the same race as us, but they're in interracial relationships, we heard back from all over the world.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So we chose these 30 couples and we kind of integrated, you're going to love this. So we integrated and analyzed all their data so we could tell the quantitative portion of their story and tell we could tell their actual story with it. I know he's like, I hate data.
So wait, so without telling all the details, obviously you won't be able to get into the 30 couples. Can you think of, I know this is putting you on the spot, but because there were so many and you're a data person, I'm sure this will be easy for you. Tell me some key highlights that you discovered about these 30 couples that maybe are relevant to how you also, you know, dealt with issues or whatever, you know, you discovered.
Wow. So, gosh, there were so many things that we found that really weren't surprising because it's stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, and it's, again, probably not surprising because of the climate that we live in and the politics in America today, but one of the things that we discovered was that people found that their relationships, either with each other or with each other's family members, became very hostile.
Yes.
After, during, and after the 2016 election. And that was something, we didn't have hostility with each other. We didn't have hostility with our family members, but we had very distinct hostility and toxic environment on social media.
Right.
And so we talk about that because we had a lot of people say, like, it was a very toxic environment, either with family or on social media. And I tell the story of me just scrolling through, and I had people that I was like, I know that you're saying things out of love, but they're very ignorant statements to make because you don't know and you haven't experienced the life that we've experienced. And so there came a point where I finally turned out, I was done with social media, and I had to be done with social media for a good 8 to 10 months before I could get back in and jump back into it.
Wow.
And that stuck out to me. What about you?
No, just to mimic what you said, I think that during that time and when she was on the social media, it started to show in our relationship.
Yeah.
Because she would get very angry or upset about something that she read, and it would offend me, and she would be more upset than I was. And then I would try to get her to calm down. And in her defense of me, you know, the anger and frustration kind of showed itself. So definitely that stood out. And to just hear that other people also experienced that, and we weren't the only ones, and just the impact that that specific time played in a lot of relationships in a lot of different ways.
Right.
One that stood out to me as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that during that time, it was hostile for everyone. But I would think more, I could understand how more so for you, although Daryl, you know, she mentioned how you grew up and how, you know, some of these things were probably more common for you to experience too.
Right.
So maybe you weren't as torn apart about it or like upset about it because it was more common for you, but not for her.
Right.
And for me, one of the things that stuck out the most to me was the, I think the relationships that were very similar to ours, where the wife or the female partner was white and the male partner was black. And the wife would respond and talk about how she was always on just realizing over and over her white privilege.
Yeah.
And that struck a chord in me because for the longest, oh my gosh, I feel like, well, even now I'll be like, I can't believe I just said that. Like, that just demonstrates how much privilege I have as a white person in this country that didn't even affect me. And a really good example of that is when we were, I think we talk about this on one of our episodes, but when we were searching for a house, so we bought this lovely house. It's great. We love it. But we had a nightmare of a story of how we got there. And we do talk about actually very specifically a nightmare house buying story in one of our podcast episodes. So you guys should go back and listen to that.
Yes, yes.
But when we were searching, we had a realtor who said, you know, I can get you guys a lot of real estate for a fraction of your money in this part of town. And I was like, great, let's do it.
She was
like,
ready to jump on it.
I would love a lot of real estate for a little bit of money. Let's do it. And Daryl's sitting back there like,
this doesn't sound right. Right, Daryl?
Yeah, we can't do this. And I was like, what do you mean we can't do this? Like, yes, I want more house for our money. Of course we can do this. And he said, no. He said, April, you would be okay in that part of town. Your daughter and I would not be okay in that part of town. And like in front of the realtor. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it felt like a slap in my face. And I knew he wasn't doing it to make me feel bad, but he had to speak the truth. And so I felt so bad. I was like, I can't even believe that that's not something that I even have to think about, is what part of town is safe or okay for me to live in because of the color of my skin. And so as we started hearing so many more of these stories, and especially as a privileged race partner would discover their privilege, that really struck a chord with me. Definitely.
I think for me, the challenge was understanding that, like, I just kind of expected her to just know these things. So a lot of things I would just kind of brush off my shoulder, or I wouldn't make remarks or comments or even acknowledge, because I just thought that she would understand or she would know. And like she said, a lot of things I never really get upset about because I'm used to them, and my skin is pretty thick to those type of things. So a lot of times I would just say, no, that's not a good place for us, and we're not living there. And without giving her the explanation of why, in my mind, I just had this, I was under the assumption that she just understood it. She just knew. So for me, that was a challenge for me, because I couldn't just say, no, this is not okay, or no, I'm not comfortable with this, but this is why.
Right.
And that's something that I definitely had to learn to do. And I think I do a little bit better.
Much better now. And this same goes, I mean, I'll tell him, you know, at the same time, if you're going out, like, go out with your friends or go to a late night meeting, I don't care about that. But I also do care at the same time, because you're a Black male and you're driving and it's after dark and I'm not with you.
Yeah.
And I recognize that that's privilege talking, that I have to be with him in order for me to feel safe about his whereabouts. But it's also a request for me, like, if you're going to go out, please, like, check in with me every once in a while, so I'm not terrified at home, because I don't know where, like, if you're okay, you know? And so we kind of have to navigate this together, because if, for him, he's like, but I'm fine. I'm used to watching out for myself. Yeah. I'm like, yes, but I'm here. I'm scared, you know?
Did you also notice that
real conversations?
Did you also notice that pattern in some of the other interracial couples as well, that they didn't feel safe and secure, and they had that as well between them?
That was a very common theme.
Yes.
Very common theme. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So were there other sort of pieces or data that you discovered that were maybe not what you thought or not what you expected? Was there anything unusual?
You think about it. The piece that got me, because we're in our relationship, that's kind of what we see. But when we heard back from so many people from so many different countries and cities and states, and to hear their stories and some of the challenges that they have, for me was eye-opening, because there were some things that we never thought about because we don't experience it, but other people do because they are in, you know, interracial relationships.
Yeah.
And one that specifically jumps out to me is the fact that someone can't take their partner to go meet their family.
Yeah.
So for us, we didn't have that problem because our families were both accepting. And to hear that someone similar to us being in interracial relationship couldn't take their partner to go see their family. For me, I was like, wow, like I just couldn't even fathom or imagine not being able to go and see her family or be involved in her life in that aspect.
Was it just a racial thing, or did you find that it was maybe religious / country oriented, or?
No, it was all the stories that we got back were racial.
Race related.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's intense.
Yeah. And then for me, I was actually, I was surprised by how similar everybody's stories actually were. And yes, there were definitely pieces like that we've been very blessed to not have to experience. Cause there were some I remember one woman was talking about when she got together with her partner, who is, they're basically a couple like us. So she is white and he is Black. Her father stopped talking to her for years.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's heartbreaking. And so luckily we didn't have that. But to me, the most surprising thing, I think when you mentioned, because we did get people who answered from Africa, from Europe, from places in Europe, and a lot of it sounded so similar. When we had people in from England talking about Brexit and about the whole Brexit situation, which occurred around the same time as our politics in America in 2016. Right. And it was basically the exact same type of situation in England. And to hear them talk about that, I was like, I'm surprised that this is going on everywhere, that there is discrimination, there's racial biases in countries like Europe, which I always assumed was more progressive, especially with interracial relationships, yeah, than America. But I don't think that's always the case. I think that's an assumption.
Yeah, this is true, actually, because I have traveled with other friends that are of other ethnicities, and not just Black, but like Chinese and things like that. And I did find that some countries in Europe were racist against either myself or Chinese, or, you know, especially if you come from America and they know you're American. Sometimes they're like, oh, you're one of them.
America.
So, wow. So, okay. So I won't ask any more questions about that, just because I want people to listen to your podcast. I found it fascinating. You know, I'm a data person, so I'm going to even digest it again to hear, to hear the details. I grew up in the Bronx, so there was, I would say, less racism, only because I was amongst my people. The Latinos come in, you know, huge numbers here, but right, there were definitely moments of that too. It's everywhere. It's not, you know, just segregated in any specific state. It's not any specific country. It's absolutely just everywhere, unfortunately.
Right. Unfortunately.
So, okay. So let's get to some more juicy stuff now that Daryl is here. So now that you guys have this company and you basically see each other almost 24/7, well, although Daryl, he owns a gym, right? Like you work at a gym and she works at a different job now. So maybe there's a little bit more space, but how do you guys keep it sizzling? Because you share so much together.
Do you want to take that first?
No. Are you?
You want me to take it first?
Well, I want to hear from you, Daryl.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be honest, and she knows I love her, but she makes it happen. She forces the hand. So if she's feeling like we need to spend some time together or time apart, she makes it known, and I pick up on the hints and the cues very well. most of the time. So that's kind of how we keep the sizzle. Yeah. And me, it doesn't bother me as much because I'm pretty low-key and pretty relaxed and chilled all the time. But with her, she's like, hey, like, let's go do something. Yeah. And I'm just like,
we need some time together. Yeah, we need some time together. Or we need some time apart. Like, go.
And I'm like, okay. You know, it just kind of just... and I don't ask any questions. I've learned that along the way too, when it's along those topics. And I say, yes, baby, let's go out. Where do you want to go? Or I say, where do you want me to go? Or where do you want to go?
But I think honestly, we've learned from very early on, from like after the first 6 months that we didn't have anything to do with each other. Yeah. After that, even before we started dating, we spent a lot of time together because our jobs were so similar and we were working in the exact same like building even for a long time. And then so even now, it is a little strange for us to not even be working in the same like buildings and stuff, because this January is when I got my new job. So we're still in the same organization, and like I go eat lunch with them, and like we'll even have meetings together still. But it's just we have gotten used to us being together.
Right.
And the ways that we communicate and the ways that we talk and the ways that we work together are so effective. You know, I'm sure like every once in a while I drive him crazy and he'll drive me crazy. But for the most part, we are very, very used to a very high level of interaction throughout the entire day. And then we come home and we parent. And then we come home. And so I think the times that we get away are like, he falls asleep on the couch and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
Well, and also he has times with his boys and you have your time, I'm guessing, as well, which is important. So that's good. Awesome. Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. I feel the love between the two of you. So I'm buying it. I'm buying it. So now in terms of business, what have you guys done to continue to master your craft and this passion that you've now built together?
Right. I'll go first. So for me, because of the environment that I work in and the people that I'm in contact with on a daily basis, I always get a chance to coach someone unofficially or officially. And I'm always having an opportunity to inspire and motivate people. And then because of us both working in the field that we work in, which is higher education, there are always opportunities for us to do workshops or to do trainings. And when you have a student employee rate of about 150, you always have a chance to work on your skill set and to practice when you're giving presentations or you're speaking or you're helping people develop themselves personally as they matriculate through college. Right. So that's something that we do on a daily basis. For me personally, I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly making connections, engaging in meaningful relationships with people and making sure that I'm continuing to build, to network and to continue to gain knowledge on my topic area and my subject.
Yeah. And I was going to say part of it's so nice, the crossover that we have between our full-time jobs and our business, because then there are things like I have this major research project that's going on and it's a national research project. And we're really exploring what are the leadership and career skills that employers are looking for. Right. Are they being developed in the college atmosphere? And so this is a major research project, but it's also fueling a lot of what then we get to find out from employers of what are you looking for? What do you need people to be trained in when they're coming into you? Or within organizations, how are you doing strategic planning? Or what is it that you need when we talk about consulting within the organizational structure? And so we get to see a lot of the stuff being played out,
right?
Not in the specific way that we get to work with it in our business, but we get a lot of the side, like, oh, there's development that comes from what we're doing on a daily basis. And some of that sometimes for me is just figuring out how to better analyze data, you know, depends, but we're figuring it out as we go, I think.
Go ahead. I was gonna say that we're adjuncts. So we teach and when you teach
together,
together. Could you imagine that?
What do you teach together?
Yeah, when you have opportunity to do that, you're always having to make sure that you're up on the latest trends and obviously the different generations that are taking the class.
Yeah.
And for us, we're always educating ourselves to make sure that we're presenting the up-to-date leadership information and the trends to the students that we're teaching.
So what's the course that you're adjuncting together?
It's leadership and well-being.
Oh, lovely. I love it.
So it's like holistic well-being principles, and we get to talk to students about physical activity and nutrition and financial well-being. A lot of students have never developed their own personal budget before. And so that's kind of, sometimes it feels like a life skills course. And then sometimes
it feels like it.
Very in-depth about social justice and about, you know, other health related things. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. And also, I love what you said earlier about the research project that you're working on. So I think there's room for another live program that we're going to do together, because I'm a big advocate of helping companies figure out, you know, how to best prepare kids in college and even high school to be out in the world. And I'm actually writing about it as right now. I'm writing a book about it because it's
love it.
It's such a sore. Because like my son is 8 years old, so I watch him and I watch the education system and how it's been failing him in so many ways. And primarily because the school system is supposed to prepare you to be out there and to pursue what you love, right? But they don't really prepare you like that. They prepare you with like math and science and reading and, you know, but not the other core softer skills perhaps that you need to learn.
Right. Well, and you say it so well on your website alone that this generation, the millennial generation, the, what are they called now? The Z, the Generation Z.
Yeah.
I think it's Generation Z is the next one after millennials. Mm-hmm. Say it so well that they are a different generation. We can't treat them like baby boomers. We can't treat them like the, you know, with Generation Xers, because they're just a different generation. And so we have to organizations have to figure out how to incorporate them into their worlds. And that can be difficult when you have multiple generations trying to figure out exactly how to work together, how to lead the company together. That can be difficult. And you say it on your website so well. I mean, that's...
Yeah. And you know, there's data on there too.
I know. That's why I liked it.
I've done a lot of research on this. So for sure. Okay. So since both of you are out in leadership and teaching, and obviously you're teaching the younger generation as well, what are a couple of like beliefs, major beliefs or patterns that you've noticed that come from either this generation or even like, you know, older about pursuing what they really love? Because that's, for me, is like such a big deal. As we get out there in the world, we really want to be who we are authentically and pursue what we were meant to do. And Daryl, she mentioned your story and how you had a football accident. And so you became what you became now, which is, you know, it's a motivational speaker. And, you know, who would have thought, right?
Right.
You could have been in the NFL right now.
We talk about that sometimes. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, not everything is meant for everyone. Right. So sometimes the life takes a path that you just don't know why until later on when you're like, oh, of course that happened because this is who I really am. Right.
Right. Absolutely.
So what are those major like beliefs or patterns that you've seen that sort of limit people from pursuing what they love? And how have you possibly addressed it in the leadership presentations that you do?
I think two for me is exactly what you just explained, following your own path, because I know that a lot of the students that we do interact with and a lot of people that I do coach, they're usually chasing something that someone else has assigned to them. And getting someone to understand that you have a purpose in life and you need to identify what your skill sets are, what your purpose is, what you're passionate about, and chase what your goals are, not what someone else has assigned to you, I think is very big. And that's what we're seeing a lot, and especially with college students. My parents think that I should do this. My parents think that I should be this. Because my parents are paying for my schooling, I'm forced to take these classes. And then finally, later on in their collegiate career, they realize that this wasn't for me. And then they decide to change majors and add on another 2 years to their college life. So I think that's very important. And then the second is just being able to, the way that I like to phrase it is bending with fate. So how you handle adversity. And being resilient during tough times is something else that I think that the current generation is having challenges with because there is always someone coming to lift them up as opposed to supporting them as they pick themselves up. And that's something that I talk about a lot with the and mostly the high school students that I have opportunity to speak to. I tell them as plain as day, you don't need anyone's approval to do anything, but you will need their support to help you get to your point that you're trying to get to. I send that message and I tell all of the high school students that the college students, they're a little bit past that point and they kind of have their own mindsets already. So it's tough to try to get them to change that mindset. But the high school students, if I get to them early enough, I tell them, you don't need anyone's approval to chase any goals or dreams that you have, but you will need their support. So remember that as you're pursuing your goals and your dreams.
Absolutely. I agree with you about permission, right? People feel like they need permission to move forward with what they love. I also tell my story along those same lines. I had my parents, right? They paid for college. I have to do what they say. They're my parents. My family was a family of engineers, so therefore I should probably be an engineer too. And you know what I mean? Like it's all of that historical stuff that we assume we have to do, but we really just need to give ourselves permission, right? I love that. Did you want to say something, April?
I mean, he covered it really well. One of the other things that he really does talk about and is so important that we've discovered is just managing relationships. And it can be really hard, especially for the generation coming up, because we have all these tools at our fingertips that are social media, and we're forming all of these relationships that maybe are not exactly relationships because they're not taking the time to talk to each other or to get to know each other or to really understand, like, this is the relationship I need to have in order to further my career. So he talks about that often too. Right. And we kind of train for that as well.
Wonderful. Love it. Okay. So now tell us the truth.
All right.
It hits the fan. Who's the one that's level-headed?
Oh, all day him. What? All day.
I was going to say, is that a real question?
Is that a real question?
That's easy. That was an easy.
Yeah.
I love asking that question because, you know, as you said, it's through those tough moments that you kind of learn what you're made of and what your partnership and relationship is made of. So can you give us an example or a time when you guys, you know, this the SHTF was happening and, you know, Daryl was level headed and April was bouncing off the walls and then what happened?
Last night? No, I'm just
No, I do have one, and she'll probably laugh about this because I am so process oriented. Like, I'm always thinking through from all aspects, and that's communicating with people, how I communicate with people, and how we're going to transition through a process. So our daughter came home one day with bite marks on her leg.
OMG.
I went mama bear.
Yeah.
I went mama bear.
So I had to intervene and it hit the fan real fast.
Real fast.
And I had to intervene and just kind of talk her through the process and the appropriate way of not getting kicked out of daycare, one, because we actually like the daycare.
We do like the daycare.
But they
let my child get bit.
Yeah. So the first part is understanding that she was alive. And that she was in good health. Maybe her spirit was broken because someone bit her, but she was alive and she was in good health. And that's kind of how I start the process. I'm like, let's start there. So before you go and possibly get both of us arrested, step back and breathe and figure out the appropriate way and find out the avenues of who we need to talk to and what are the processes to make sure that, one, it was addressed, and two, that everything is being done to prohibit it from happening again. Mm-hmm. And that's what immediately came to my mind when you said that, because I remember it like it was yesterday when it happened. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hold it together.
Breathe, April.
Girl.
Oh, I understand completely. I have an 8-year-old. Things happen.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good example.
So that said, go ahead, April.
That's pretty often.
One day you might switch. We'll see what happens. So that said, how do you recommend, because that, especially actually what you mentioned earlier, millennials are a perfect example of what they call the entitled generation, who feel like they deserve it all without doing the work, right? So I'm fairly certain that they're going to experience a lot of SHTF moments because they're going to be like, well, what do you mean? I can't have this and I can't have that. And I can't be manager and vice president in a year. Like, this is literally what's happening now.
Yeah.
So how do you set yourself up for success and set themselves up for success when things like this happen and they don't know how to react and control themselves?
Ooh.
I think it's my 4-step process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'll talk you through really quick. And it's something that I speak on often. So the first part of it is making sure that you manage relationships. That is so important so that you understand who your resources are, who your allies are, and also knowing who, you know, I'll use the term enemies may be, counterparts, making sure that you understand who all of those different people are and how to manage each one of those relationships. I mean, I think that's so important because how you communicate and how you engage and interact with your counterparts is not going to be the same way that you engage or interact with your allies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first part, so that when things do go sideways, you know who you can go to and you know how to talk to them, how to communicate with them to start the process of overcoming that.
And if I may, that's part of setting rapport, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Having rapport with the individuals you work with and, you know, making friends, not enemies. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then the second part is, like I said, bending with fate. When adversity comes, in the moment, it's tough to say, I'm going to be all right, and to understand and know that you're going to get over it. But understanding that you will and you can get over it is the first step in acknowledging what happened. I mean, kind of bending with it. And I use the analogy of a tree, a palm tree, because we're in Florida. When hurricanes come, the palm trees, because of their structures, what they do is they bend and they don't break. And when the storm is over, they bounce back and they're standing back tall and they're standing back pretty. So I like to use that analogy because we are Floridians. bending with fate and understanding that when you bounce back, you're going to be even stronger. And learning what those resilient aspects in your life are. And once again, knowing who to go to, back to the relationship pieces.
Yeah, knowing that it's not going to break you is so important. But you're going to have to come up with a better analogy than palm trees if you're coming to New York ever, okay?
You can't use the palm trees in New York?
No. And I'm Dominican, so I know all about palm trees. All good things. So what's 3 and 4?
Three and four. Three, really quick, is positioning yourself. So understanding that everything that you do, you're always positioning yourself for success or failures, which I call learning opportunities. So understanding that everything that you do, you're positioning yourself. So take advantage of opportunities, take advantage of meeting people, putting yourself in places to be successful. And then number four is just enjoying the ride and just kind of, you know, celebrating your victories. Mm-hmm. Because I know, and I have to tell her that all the time, because mm-hmm. she's just like, all right, what's next? What's next? What's next? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to take a step back and say, wow, like I really killed that. And yeah. that was awesome. And let's celebrate this and let's acknowledge it. So
yeah,
I think that that's very important. And that's something that a lot of people forget to do.
Yeah.
Because in society, you're always going, mm-hmm. and you're always being pushed by something or someone to find out what's next, to do what's next, to be better. And sometimes you have to take a step back and celebrate your victories.
And I think it's easy for especially entrepreneurs and those who maybe, I'm not a fan and I don't believe in scarcity mentality, but I think that a lot of entrepreneurs can believe in scarcity mentality. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy as an entrepreneur to achieve something. And I'm guilty of this. He has to tell me all the time, but you might look towards who you might think is your competition or mm-hmm. towards other people who are doing more and more and more. And instead of taking the time to celebrate, to rest, to replenish and relax, instead you're like, what's next? And then I think that's when people experience burnout. They really experience, like, we see a lot about, you know, he mentioned resiliency and a lack of resiliency in this generation. And it's just happening because there's right. so much comparison and people are not taking the time to celebrate themselves and the accomplishments that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to pop some champagne sometimes, you know?
Yes. Now you're talking.
It's funny yeah. because I, you know, I'm Dominican. So I was born there, but I grew up here, but I grew up very Dominican. And if you know anything about the Latin culture, we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to get down, right?
So, that's why we got married there.
In Florida, there's plenty of us down there. So.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it.
So I grew up with a bit of that mentality. But interestingly, later on, as my mom, you know, got her master's and she became a professional herself, she forgot. And so I'm mm-hmm. the one reminding her, like, Mom, you know, maybe you should give yourself, like, some ice cream at the end of the week. You know, my mom's yeah. a teacher. So I'm like, listen, you just dealt with all these kids all week long. You need a break.
Yes.
I totally agree. And then April, you said about a scarcity mentality and entrepreneurs. And oh my gosh, it's so very true. And the interesting thing is that the opposite is true. Because there are other entrepreneurs that do what you do, that actually means that there's a market for what you do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually the opposite, right? So anyway, right. if people would see it that way, things would be a whole different ballgame.
Yep, agree.
A football game for you, Daryl.
Yes.
Okay, so where can people find you guys? How can they reach out to you, maybe even get some leadership coaching from you? Where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, I think the main site that we would love for people to go to is thelovettco.com. So the, our last name, Lovett, L-O-V-E-T-T-C-O.com. And on there you can find our success coaching, which is our one-on-one individual coaching that we do with people. You can find our leadership consulting. So we'll actually go into an organization. We will consult with them in order to help them better understand kind of the top-down approach and how leadership is affecting the entirety of the organization, right, from sales and clients to employee retention. And so we kind of help them figure that out. We also have motivational speaking. You can also find our podcast on there. So the Success in Black and White podcast, which does, we have our own website for that. So you can just go to successinblackandwhite.com and our podcast is there. Where else can they find us?
On Instagram, Facebook, and all that good stuff.
All the fun social media. Stuff. Yeah, that's how we found each other.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so all of that is already posted online, so you guys can absolutely reach them. And also, if you guys have questions, we didn't take a lot of questions just because we had so much to say and so much to talk to them about. But feel free to, you know, ping them, DM them, find them online. And if you need any help, any assistance, please reach out to them. Now, I have one more question. What do you guys do for fun?
Fun?
What is that?
We have April, a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old.
No. I know that we like to go out to eat. I mean, eating, you have to do that to live, but yeah, it's also fun trying out new restaurants. I think that's real. We like to travel too. Before Devon, we traveled a little bit more, but he does not like his car seat.
No. He does
it. So,
one of the things, I mean, even just a couple weeks ago, we love live music.
Oh, my
We're
gosh,
big
yes,
live
yes,
music
yes,
junkies. So there's a place that where we live that's like an underground blues club in the South.
Ooh, I love it.
People like B.B. King have played there. And so we went just a couple weeks ago and they have live blues bands.
Yes.
And it was so nice. Like, just sit back, have a drink, relax. Like, those are the kind of things that we do for fun.
Yeah. Love it.
Sounds like a good way to celebrate success.
Exactly.
Well, thank you guys for joining and cheers to your success. I got my tea with me. Cheers.
Perfect. He has his mug. I don't have anything.
She's been drinking it. I don't know if you all saw, but I saw her.
I saw her.
Yeah.
We share.
Yes. Well, thank you. Bless you both. I wish you so much success in your podcast series and in everything you do in your business and also with your beautiful kids and your fur baby.
Yes.
Thank you.
Love you both. And now you guys, like I said, can find them online at successinblackandwhite.com, thelovettco.com, and you can find them on Instagram and Facebook. So thank you all for joining. Please feel free to ask questions in the comments below. And if you like it, like, and if you, and if you want or know someone who needs it and who needs this information, please share it.
Absolutely.
So thank you guys for joining and I'll see you next Thursday.
Yay. Right. Thank you.
You're on the Passionful Side. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is @IAmDarylLovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.